you so much for joining in our praise and worship.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give God some glory and praise in this place. God is awesome. God is mighty. God is kind. And we are grateful for what God is doing. Amen. Thank you for the praise team ushering in the presence of God, even online right now, Father God. So we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. And I'm just grateful for what God is doing. Amen. Just want to say a quick prayer real quick and I'll be done. I pray, oh God, that you would be glorified right now. I pray, oh God, that we will stand justified in you. I pray that the enemy would be terrified of what's going on, Father God. We will give you all the honor, glory, and praise and stand on you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. As most of you know, we are in a series called Stay in the House. Amen. Pastor Vernon and his sons and the Shepherd's Connection are all preaching the same message. And we are grateful for what God is doing with us. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, your phones, your apps, whatever you got, we're going to look at a quick text right here. Luke 15, 17 and 18. And it says this. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you.'" I know you can't touch your neighbor, but if you don't mind, help me announce my text. Tell them there's no place like home. There's no place like home. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We thank you, oh God. The Wizard of Oz is a 1939 American musical fantasy film produced by Metro, Goldwyn, and Mayer. Widely regarded as one of the greatest films of all time, Dorothy Gale, Diana Ross if you're black, lives with her dog Toto in Kansas in a farm belonging to her Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. For the two people online that maybe not have seen this movie, Dorothy decides to run away from the house. A storm, and please take a mental note of that, causes Dorothy and Toto to end up in Munchkinland. I can't give you the whole movie, that would be way too long. But life in Oz taught Dorothy something. There's no place like home. And I selected the text this weekend, the master and masterful storyteller Jesus is capturing a crowd constantly. He's catching them. And Pastor, what crowd are you talking about? I'm glad you asked, because verse 1 of chapter 15 says this, some IRS agents and Biggie was there. What, Pastor? IRS agents and Biggie was there? Yeah, let me prove it to you real quick. Look at the text. Luke 15 and 1 says this, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus. All right, my bad. I might have read that wrong. Amen. But notorious Biggie. But you get the point. There were not just church people that were listening to Jesus. No. The Bible says there was crooks and crazy people that came to listen to Jesus. And God forgive me. I'm a pastor. And I love to save folk. I love to see people give their life to Christ. I love to encourage them in their faith. I love to see them walk with God. But one thing, I want to see people that don't know Jesus get saved too. I hope some notorious thugs are listening today. Amen. I hope some people that don't even know Christ maybe listen to this word today. I pray a brother that got a blunt right now is watching right now on live stream. Amen. I pray a sister that got up this morning and poured her a shot instead of a cup of coffee and is going through something is listening right now. Because as the church, we got to be able to communicate not just to church people. We got to be able to reach out to the world. Because we might be the only Bible they ever read. We got to be able to reach out to people and say, look here, I can bring church to you. You just ain't got to come to church. Let me hurry up. This text in Luke 15, Jesus talks about a lost sheep, and he says 99 of them, and one sheep got away, and so the shepherd went to find that one sheep. He left all of the ones that were safe, went back to the one, and carried it on his shoulders and brought it back. And the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoiced over that one instead of the 99. Then he talks about a woman who lost a coin, and she had 10 coins. She lost one, but she began to sweep, sweep, sweep until she found that one coin and called people to rejoice for her. So I think Jesus, before he gets into this last story, is telling us, don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. He's putting that in their mind. Don't give up on God because God's going to do whatever it takes to go and find. Amen. So let's look at the text. Luke 15, 11 and 12 says this. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Normally, an estate was not divided or given to the heirs unless the father could no longer manage it well. The father acquiesced to his son's demands and gave him a share of his inheritance. The younger son will only actually get one third because the oldest got double portion, so he was entitled to two thirds. So the youngest son only could get one third of what he wanted. But the younger son took that wealth, went far away, and squandered it in wild living, involving himself presumably, as his older brother said, with prostitutes. The hearers immediately would have began to understand the point of the story, because Jesus had been criticized for hanging with sinners. What do you mean? The self-righteous could criticize Jesus for associating with sinners, but they could never condemn him for condoning their sin. Think about that. They would criticize Jesus because he hung with the sinners. He hung with the tax collectors. He hung with people that they knew were doing wrong, and they could criticize him for that, but even in the midst of that, Jesus never condoned their sin. When a lady was caught in the midst of adultery and everybody wanted to stone her and wanted to beat her up, Jesus said, no. What are your accusers? I forgive you, but go and sin no more. I love that. Jesus wants to help us. He ain't said, I know that you got sin, but I come to help you get out of your sin. Praise God. Amen. And that's all I want to be as a pastor. I want to be like Jesus. Don't trip if you see me with some brothers that might have gold teeth and dreads and tats and look like they don't belong in church. Don't trip if you see me and Lady Thomas with a sister with a short mini skirt on and look like she's going through something and look like she don't belong in church. No, sometimes I got to go and let them know that I love you and Jesus loves you. He just wants you to go and sin no more. The sinners were considered people who were far away from God, squandering their lives in riotous living. Okay, let me modernize and contemporize this ancient text. Let me put a little PG on it. That's Pastor George, if you don't know. In essence, he's telling his daddy, it's taking you too long to die. Let me pause for the cause and break that down for y'all, because I'm peeping the parenthetical right there. He says, Daddy, it's taking you too long to die. What do you mean? I think the Bible tells me to honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the earth, the first commandment with promise. And he tells his daddy, it's taking you too long to die. Give me my money. It's a trip. I know everybody doesn't have a good story with all their parents sometimes. Some people have been blessed and parents been there a whole rip, and some people don't have that. But the Bible don't say honor your good mama. It don't say honor your good father. It says honor your mother and father. Why? Because he promised to give you long life. And the reason I got to honor them for nothing else, it wouldn't be me without them. And if I got kids, I wouldn't have kids if it wasn't for them. Yeah, so I got to still honor them, but I want to help somebody get free today, because just because I honor you don't mean I got to hang with you. I hope somebody get free with that. Amen. Today. But just because I honor you don't mean we got to hang out of time. It means I can be respectful. It means I can be there for you. If you need something, I got it. I got you. But it doesn't mean I have to hang around you all the time, because sometimes we might not click. Sometimes we might clash, but that don't mean I don't love you. I'm going to always honor you and never disrespect you. But the man says, Daddy, it's taking you too long to die. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that leaps out at this text is his restlessness. He wants his inheritance now. And just because you want something now, don't mean you can handle it now. Come on, man. All right, y'all feel me. Okay. Just because my 11-year-old wants to drive, don't mean I'm going to get her a car. Just because the job pays well, doesn't mean you can handle all the responsibilities of the position. Just because I want $1 million, don't mean I can handle $1 million. Okay. Just because I want a wedding don't mean I can handle a marriage. Who am I talking to in here today? I don't know who I'm talking to. I feel somebody felt that, though. Because when you want, and ain't willing to work, you are setting yourself up for failure. The young man says, Daddy, I want it now. I ain't got time to wait. So the young man is restless. He's tired of having to stay in the house. You'd be surprised how many grown and saved folk are just wrestling with restlessness. Call me crazy, but I don't have enough stuff to be bored. Praise God. Amen. It's grown saved folk that are restless and wrestling with restless. Do I serve God? Do I don't? I'm sorry, but I'm a pastor, and I can still say I don't pray enough. I'm a pastor. I still say I can study a little bit more. I'm a pastor. Say I ain't did all I need to do in ministry. I'm a pastor. Say I ain't got all the money I need. I ain't did all I need to do. I ain't touched my city enough. I ain't touched the nation enough. I got so much to do. How are you bored when God has called us to do such more? So much you should never be bored in God. Being bored is for a company. And I ain't accomplished enough yet, amen. So I'm still going to try to do what God said do, amen. But look at verse 13 real quick. Please give me some homiletical pastoral privilege to move to the God's Word version real quick. Let's look at verse 13 in the God's Word version. And it says, after a few days, the younger son gathered his possessions and left for a country far away from home. Y'all missed it, amen. It doesn't tell me how many inches he went away. It doesn't tell me how many feet, yards, miles, or kilometers he went to go kick it. All it tells me is that he went far away. Thank God. Thank God for spiritual parents, amen. Because my spiritual father has this to say. Any place away from God is too far. Thank you, Pastor R.A. Any place away from God It's too far. Amen. Y'all might not have felt that. Okay. The real gonna feel this. It's something that babies go through called separation anxiety. It's something babies go through. And what happens is that when a baby is in the presence of their parents and their mother or dad, and they feel that love and that strong connection, is when the baby gets separated from the parents, they start tripping.
Yeah.
They begin to cry and whine. And it's a trip because the parent can just be in the kitchen cooking, and that can be in the living room, but they still crying.
That's good.
The parent can be in the same house and go downstairs, and the baby is tripping and still crying.
Yeah.
The parent can be in the next room, and just because they don't have them, they right there, the baby is crying and still tripping. I don't think y'all feel me, but I done been through enough in my life to know that I can't deal without my daddy, which is God. I can't deal without his presence in my life, amen. Anywhere he's not at is too far away from me. I don't care where I'm at. And can I suggest to you that anywhere where God wants you to be, if you're too far, you got to get back in place. I think it was Bishop Morton said that whatever you're doing in this season, Lord, don't do it without me. I don't care if you're blessed, you're healing, if it's praying, if you're keeping us in the house. Whatever you're doing in this season, oh God, don't do it without me. Any place away from God is too far. So the prodigal son doesn't realize the effects of being far away from the house is done. It's dangerous to be out here living far away from the house however you want to, because there's nobody there to help keep you accountable. It's dangerous to be far away from home, no responsibility for your actions. It's dangerous to be far away from home because no one to give you wise counsel. Let's look at what that leads to when nobody's away from home. Look at Luke 15 and 13. It says, and there he wasted all his money in wild living.
That's right.
Wow. So not only do we see his restlessness, we see this. Check this out, y'all. His recklessness.
Wow.
The text says that he wasted his money in wild living. Another version says loose living. PG version says he was trying to buy till he fall. Amen. He was trying to get it how he live. Amen. That's what my version says. That he was doing whatever he thought he was big enough and bad enough to do. I don't know. Maybe Bud was buying all the drugs. Maybe he had pounds of weed on him. I don't know. Maybe he had bundles of coke. I don't know what the mother was doing, but he was wasting his money. Maybe he was at the strip clubs and going from here to there. Maybe he was in the club popping bottles and buying out the bars. I don't know. Maybe he's in the casino just spending all his money. Didn't care because he had enough. He was balling till he found it. I don't know what he was doing, but it said he was living wild and loose. But not only do we see his restlessness and his recklessness, but thirdly, and it's right there in the text, we see his reckoning.
Wow.
Okay, let me prove it. Look at the text. Luke 15 and 14. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve.
Jesus.
He got a reckoning. A famine swept over the land at the time his money ran out. My God. How many 50-year-old dope dealers you know that are retired, rich, and living a life? Praise God, I didn't think it was many. Amen. They're not living like that. How many people do you know that was with God, that left God, and are now doing better since they don't have God?
Jesus.
Oh, wait, praise God, amen. No, I didn't say left church, no, because you can leave church and God can move you somewhere. You can go to another church and still be blessed. I'm talking about ones that was with God, left God, and now are doing better since they left God, amen.
Yeah.
I just don't believe that's happening. See, when you're outside of God's will, one day it will eventually all come down. But not only do we see his restlessness, his recklessness, his reckoning, but in verse 15, we see this, his wretchedness.
Jesus.
Thank you, Eugene Peterson. Thank you. The text says, the message version says this. Look at this. He signed on with a citizen there who was assigned to him, to his fields, the slop, the pigs.
Wow.
He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. Oh, my God. I'm peeping a cognitive disconnect between the pastor and your iPad. I'm peeping a disconnect right here because it's a trip right here. And let me give you a moment of transparency for your lack of honesty right now. I'm going to be transparent. Can I suggest to you that I've been through some wretched periods in my life?
Yeah, okay.
Can I suggest to you that I've been through some wretched times in my life? And I come to find out that anytime you're away from the big three, God's will, God's way, God's word, you're going to experience some wretched times in your life. Because sin is cold-blooded, y'all. It will have you involved in something you never imagined or fathomed you ever would do.
Wow.
I think I'll repeat that. Sin is cold-blooded.
Yeah.
It will have you involved in something you didn't even imagine or fathom yourself doing. You can't believe you went that low. Okay, let me prove it to you. Brother Man's a Jew. He's a Jew. What does that mean? He's a Jewish boy. That means since the beginning, he was able to think. He was taught the Torah and the Pentateuch. He had to learn the first five books of the Bible. Since his mom became able to get to his bar mitzvah, he had to learn the first five books of the Bible, be able to repeat them off verbatim. And in the midst of this, he taught something about pigs don't not only eat pigs, we don't even come near pigs. It's Jewish culture. We don't come near pigs. Pigs are nasty. So since he was little, he was taught no ham, no bacon. No pigs, amen. That you can't even come near a pig because a pig is a sign of impurity. I'm sorry, but I don't think y'all heard me. He's gotten so far away from the house that he's dealing with what he detests. Ooh. Y'all see that? He's gotten so far away from home, he's dealing with something he detests. I don't know about you, but have you ever dealt with something that was beneath you? Have you ever been in a situation that was beneath you? Like, why am I here? How am I here? What am I doing here? Have you ever dealt with a person that was beneath you? A wretched situation? I'm sorry, but I ain't got time for dating halfway house Henry right now. I'm sorry, bro. That's beneath me, amen. I ain't got time for a date deceitful Deborah right now, amen. It's trying to steal my money and hurt my joy. I don't got time for that right now. That is beneath me. All I'm saying that wretchedness will get you caught up. And a mistake is not wretchedness. Wretchedness is getting caught up and being controlled. What do you mean being controlled, Pastor? This chick ain't as cute as my wife, and she married, I'm married, but I can't keep myself out of her bed. Wow. I'm in wretchedness. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm in wretchedness. I've been messing with him and him, and I don't know who the baby is. So I'm going to have an abortion because I don't want to get caught up in the middle of this mess. I'm dealing with wretchedness. Wretchedness and have me on the computer screen Googling stuff at midnight, dealing with stuff, amen, that kids should be dealing with, but I'm struggling, I'm messed up right now. Wretchedness will get you caught up, and all I'm saying is that wretchedness, sin is a trip. Why? Because it starts off small.
Yeah.
Then it keeps you longer than you want to be kept. And then it takes you farther than you want to go. I'm just talking about wretchedness. I don't know. But thank you, Apostle Paul, for Romans 7. I thank you, Apostle Paul, for Romans 7, because he said, anything that dwells in my flesh is not good. Nothing good dwells in my flesh. When I want to do right, wrong is by me. When I want to do this, evil is ever present with me. I don't understand. Something is warring against the law in my mind. Something is warring against my spirit. Something is giving me in captivity of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Jesus.
Paul let us know that it's duality in us. Yeah. That we have a good side and a bad side. That we got a side that wants to do right, and we got a side that wants to do wrong. And I'm convinced that if you, whatever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win the fight. That if I feed, well, I'm in the house right now, and I concentrate on the Lord, and I concentrate on praying and reading this Bible and get my family together, that when I continue to fast and continue to do things God wants me to do, the other side going to begin to die. He going to begin to fall away. And then when I come back to church, when everything is lifted up, I can come back ready to praise and be in a whole new position, spiritually be in a whole new position, mentally be in a whole new position. I believe God is trying to show us that we need to get our spirit man together because two of them live in us. I got to go, y'all. But not only do we see his restlessness, his recklessness, and his reckoning, and his wretchedness, but finally we see his realization.
Wow,
look at that. Look at the A clause in verse 17. It says this, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, y'all miss y'all shout, but it's cool. Praise God. Amen. And again, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, can I have a moment of transparency and admit that there have been times in my life when I just wasn't myself? There have been some times in my life that I wasn't myself, that maybe me and Lady Thomas had a disagreement, and I raised my voice or I yelled or said something I shouldn't have said, and I had to come back and say, baby, I'm sorry, I'm tripping. I just wasn't myself right there. Something was wrong. Maybe your kids are going through something right now, and they ain't acting like how they usually act, and something's wrong. Maybe they're going through something right now, and they're just not they self right now. See, maybe of us can be real and relate that some of us have been in a season of sin even after we got saved.
Come on now.
We have been in a season of sin even after we got saved because we're not ourselves right now. And can I talk to some of my members? Even before Corona came, you stopped kicking it with me. Even before Corona hit, you stopped coming, amen. And the reason we haven't taken your names off the rolls, and the reason you're still in our member group, and the reason I'm still praying for you, and that's the God to bless you because it's cool, I just believe you're not yourself right now, amen. I just believe you're going through something right now and you're not yourself. That's how I feel. So I'm believing God that when you come to yourself and you come back to new creation, me and Lady Thomas are going to be sitting right there ready to hug you, ready to pray for you, ready to encourage you in ministry. See, I know God got more in store for you than what you see right now. I know God still got need of you. I know some family members you got that need to be saved. I know some people on your job that need Jesus. So while the devil got you tripping right now and got you off track and you're not yourself, I'm still praying and believing you're going to come back. And when you come back, you're going to be better than ever because you're going to be who God calls you to be.
Hallelujah. Good.
Goodbye, y'all. This is what I came for. I got to get out of here. Look at verse 17, the B clause. At home, even his hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. Wow. Look at this. Look at 18 and 19. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you.
Yeah.
I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. One of my pastor's homiletic heroes, his whooping hero, C.L. Franklin, said this. He's from Detroit. He said this, that the young man left home saying, give me," but he came back saying, "Make me, make me." Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah.
Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
The immature young man left and said, give me." Yeah. And that's how we organize. God, give me this, and God, give me that, and I need this right now. Give me, give me, give me. But after he went far away from God and started doing his own thing, far away from his father, he came back and said, "Father, I need you to make me." Oh, my God. I need y'all to feel that in your spirit. Could that be why Jeremiah said that God is the potter and we are the clay? Could that be why he said he needs me to mold me and shape me? And then why he needs to maybe break me down and build me back up? I need God to make me who God wants me to be. I don't need to be who I want to be, because me might have too much pride. Me might have too much self. I need God to make me and mold me. And can I suggest to you, if you're going to let God make you and mold you, make sure his hands is on you. Because when his hands come off of you, you're going to be in bad shape. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, yes. The potter got to shape the bowl. The potter got to shape the vase. The potter got to shape it. But if the potter ever takes his hands off of it, it's going to be in bad shape. So I'm telling you that you got to let God make you and mold you. I love that. The young man came back and said, "Father, make me."
Make me, Jesus.
The young man finally realized, watch this, watch this. There's no place like home. Practice, no place like home. There's saving in our house. We talked about this last week. There's safety in my house that keeps me away from the elements. As the thunderstorm and the wind blew and rang last night, if you were in a house, there was safety from the elements last night.
Yeah.
In a practical sense. There's sacredness in the house. I talked about that. The ones that I love, my wife and my children, are the ones in the house with me. They are praying with me. They are loving with me. We're building our relationships. There's sacredness in the house. And there's savings in the house as well, because I think all of us have saved some money. Praise God. Amen. Ain't anybody going to the movies? Ain't nobody going out to eat right now. I told you that Thomas and Chef Jennifer right now, she didn't put on a new hat. Amen. And people was cooking and staying at home and all these things. It's showing us we don't really need all the stuff we think we need. Maybe God is showing us how wasteful we are with our resources. Maybe God is showing us, maybe we've been struggling to tithe, watch this, and can't tithe. And God said, "But look at all the stuff you don't need. And I'm there right there. And all you got to do is give to me, because I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive." Maybe God is just showing us what's really going on, what's really important.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all thought I forgot about my intro. Glenda appears to Dorothy. Diana Ross, if you play. The same ruby, she says that some ruby slippers have the power to return you back home.
Mm.
After sharing a tearful farewell with Scarecrow, who needed a brain, 10 men who needed a heart, and a lion who needed courage, amen. Look at the blessing in that, amen. Her circle got what she got, and then she got hers, amen. God, that dropped something in my spirit. Did Dorothy stay with them in the midst of their struggles? Even though she wanted something, she didn't get it yet, but she said, "I'm going to keep holding on. I'm going to pray for your breakthrough." Who breakthrough you praying for right now? Amen. Who are you willing to hang with and say, "God, if you in a blessing, bitch, if you bless them, that means you close, so I know mine's coming." She stayed through the scarecrow. She stayed through the tin man, and she stayed with the lion till they got theirs, and then Dorothy got hers. Amen. But she told her the ruby slippers would take her home, but she gave her instructions. Tap your heels together 3 times and repeatedly say, "There's no place like home." And Dorothy complies, follows instructions, and she wakes up in her bedroom surrounded by her family, including Toto. And that's a cute movie, but that is a reality. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah.
It's not spiritually or biblically either. God said, if you want to come home to him today, you don't have to close your eyes and click. Guess what? No, you can open your eyes, look at your phone real quick, and text to join. Praise God. Amen. You see a number at the bottom of the screen right there. If you want God for real and you want to come home, you can open your eyes, click that phone, and text to join, and come on home, because God wants you to be home. Amen. So we've seen his restlessness, his recklessness, his reckoning, his wretchedness, and his realization. But finally we see this, his repentance.
Come on now.
My God, I love that. We see his repentance last. Look at the text, Luke 15, 20-21, New Living Translation. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled him with love and compassion, and he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And he said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and am no longer worthy of being called your son." my God, the son is feeling shame and feeling guilt. So he runs to his father and tells him, look here, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And I got one more verse if you can handle it. We see a family reunion real quick. In 22 and 14, we see a family reunion. It says this, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast. For the son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin. Oh my God, oh my God. We're about to get ready to go home. But I love this. The son begins to run home and he tells his father, I'm not even worthy to be your son no more. I want to be one of your servants. I'm cool with that. I didn't see what the world had to offer. I didn't got so far away from you. I seen it no place like home. So Father God, now, Father, now I'm coming to you. And without a single word of rebuke for the past, the father pours love onto the son, expressing his joy that, son, I'm not tripping because you was lost, but now you found.
Jesus.
Look at God. His son comes to him looking bad, doesn't have any money, wasted all his money, wasted his daddy's money, hungry, was willing to eat pig slop, dealing with stuff he detests. But verse 22 said that he brings out the best robe and put it on him.
Yeah.
See, robe means honor. Don't you know when you at rock bottom and you ready to give up? If you repent and come back home, my God, who needs to hear that today? When you at rock bottom and you repent and say, God, I'm coming home. Don't you know God will step in and change your life? Thank you, Marvin Sapp. Thank you, Marvin Sapp. I think it was him that said, he only saw the best in me. When everybody else around me only saw the worst in me. My God, amen. Thank you, Marvin Sapp. He saw the best in me when everybody around me only saw the worst in me. They saw me. They knew I was toe up from the floor up. They knew I was busted and disgusted. But he only sees the best in me. Maybe y'all ain't never seen. I don't know. Praise God. Maybe this is the perfect place. I don't know. But maybe you ain't never big backslide before. I don't know. Maybe you never fell in sin and was stuck there and didn't get out until God gave you enough strength. I don't know. And maybe you don't realize that when I gave him a reason not to forgive me, he still did. When I gave him every reason not to forgive me, I squandered his living, did whatever I wanted to do, and he still forgave me. When I decided to come home and get it right with the Father, he ran to me and showed me love. All they saw was a failure. All they saw was a rebellious son. All they saw was a thug. All they saw was a drug dealer. All they saw was a whore. Maybe mama said you wouldn't amount to nothing. I don't know. Maybe mama said you ain't gonna be nothing but just like your daddy. Maybe your daddy never came around, and if he did, he didn't stay. I don't know, but if you would just tell somebody or type it in the comments, it doesn't matter what they see. It only matters what he see, and he saw the best in me. Amen. It don't matter. He saw the best in me. It only matters what he saw. Not only does he get the robe and signifies honor, watch this, and the father gives him a ring. He shows authority, and he puts sandals on his feet. Why is that important, Pastor? Because servants didn't have sandals. See, when he gave him his sandals, I know you asked to be a servant, but my sandals signified that you back to sonship.
Wow.
Woo! Woo! And then the father says, you know what? Go get that fat calf, that one we've been feeding good. The one I was saving for the end of the year party. The one I wasn't going to use for 6-7 months down the line, but it'd be eating good. The one I've been fattening up. Go get that one. Bring it out here. We know it's going to be delicious. Go ahead and kill it, cook it. I think the father had to be a brother because he wanted to get on the grill, praise God. But he says, go get the fat calf and get it. We're about to have a party because my son's home.
Yeah.
He was dead and lost, but now he's found.
Yeah.
He was lost, but now he's found. I want my son to know that I didn't spare any expense to show him I forgave him.
Yeah.
I bought it all. I bought the ring. I bought the robe. I bought the sandals. I bought the calf to show him that I had forgiven him. And the reason I can tell this story with so much joy, the reason I can tell this story and be excited about it, because God didn't spare any expense to forgive us. My God, my God. He allowed his son to come to earth, a sinful earth, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to never fall for any of the devil's devices, Satan's snares, or Lucifer's lies. He sent his son out here to die on the cross, to be hammered, to hang there and be bloody, and go in the grave and raise 3 days later, just so we can be forgiven and come back home. So I don't know who you are, what you've been going through. As we told you, we put the text to join sign on the screen. I'm just believing that if you've been watching this broadcast right now and you've fallen away out of God, God is saying, come home. God is saying, come back to me. That I know that they see the worst of you right now. I know that you've been going through. I know that everybody's been looking everywhere, but I see the best in you. I know what I created. I created a plan and purpose in you. And if you would just repent of your sins, my God, ask me to forgive you and come into your heart and begin to follow me, I will restore everything the enemy took from you. I will bring you back to sonship. God is saying, if you follow me, I will bring you down. I just want to pray with you, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Whoever's listening to this broadcast, Father God, that you will touch them in a mighty way, Father God. You know, oh God, what their heart's desire of. You know where they've been broken. You know their failures. You know, Father God, where they feel incomplete. You know, Father God, of all the problems, heartaches, and pain. But God, you are bigger than any problem. You are bigger than any pain, Father God. We declare and decree that, yes, the whole world is in your hands, oh God, and we submit to you and your authority. So I'm praying, Father God, for salvation through a virtual weekend right now, Father God. You will still save souls, even online, Father God. You will heal us, heal our nation, heal people, Father God. We believe that healing can even go through virtually, oh God. We cease and cancel coronavirus right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We will continue to pray and repent for our nation and pray, oh God, that you will continue to turn this thing around, Father God, that you will continue to have your way in this place, and we believe it and stand on you and your word, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And as we get ready to close this thing, I got one more thing. Next week, Luke 15, 28 and 30, we see his brother. Remember the brother I told you about that said he spent all his money with prostitutes? We're going to talk about his brother next week. And next week I'm preaching Lost in the House. Because you can still be in the house, but you can still be lost.
Come on now.
You can still be where you're supposed to be and still not doing what you're supposed to do. So next week, we're going to talk about Lost in the House. So make sure you tune in. I'm praying for you. Thank you for all that have given and sowed the seed and did everything you did. And we just ask you to ask God to bless your seed that you have sown today. And we thank you, and we're praying for you, and we love you, and we're giving God all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Still recording? No. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate that. Do y'all got any prayer requests while we're here with y'all? Everybody got anything they want prayer for or anything of that nature? You want? All right. So far. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Social distance. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and. Hey, what you want prayer for? I didn't ask.
Pray for humbleness, faith.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Dear Lord, we come right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for Brother Sharon right now, Father God, for what you're doing in his heart right now, Father God, that you are rebuilding him, oh God, to be the man of God you have called him to be, Father God. We take off any false names, any word, negative word that's been spoken over his life, Father God. We cancel the assignment of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. I'm speaking, oh God, freedom over him right now in the name of Jesus. As the son, as the prodigal son ran back home, as the prodigal son ran to him, Father God, that you would touch him in a mighty way in the name of Jesus, Father God. So I'm praying, oh God, you touch his mind, his heart, his body, his spirit, Father God, for whatever he's going through in this season, Father God. We know that you are a healer. We know that you are able. We know, Father God, that you can have your way, oh God. So I'm praying, Father God, that he surrenders and submits to you, Father God, that he will put the big three first, your will, your way, your word, Father God, because your word declares that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct our paths, Father God. So I'm praying you will help him to direct his paths, oh God. Help, oh God, those around him, oh God, to get any negative influence away from him, Father God. He will only hang with people that have the same vision as him, that are headed in the same direction, Father God. He won't be derailed, oh God, by the enemy. So we rebuke the enemy right now, Father God, and we believe it, and we stand on your word to bless him now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen, my brother. Amen, man. Love you, man. No problem. No problem, man. No problem, man. Who got it first?